pray that you would open up the scripture to us this morning as we look into some of the Psalms and some of the other scriptures about waiting. I pray that you would speak to all of us, Lord, and encourage us, because we want to be faithful in waiting on you, Lord, because the scripture tells us that that's what we are to do, to wait for you, to be in step with you, to not be ahead of you, to not be behind you, to not be anxious, to not be fearful, but to be trusting with all of our heart. Oh, God, help us. Your scripture tells us, Lord, trust in you with all of our heart and to not lean to our own understanding. Oh, Lord, help us that you would direct our paths. Help us, Lord. We ask that the Spirit would come upon us and we would be transformed by this study, encouraged, given more grace to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Psalm 130, I love it. Let's read it. The psalmist said, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Now, what out of the depths means he's going through something. I'm in a pit here. Out of the depths I'm calling to you. Hear my voice. I'm way down here. I'm sunken low. I need you. You know, we often fall into these pits of despair, feeling like, oh, I'm a failure, or oh, I'm such a sinner, or oh, there's no answers. I haven't had answers. I'm in this depth. I'm in a pit. Oh, Lord, I cry to you out of the depths. And then it says, let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Oh, God, have mercy on me. What a beautiful thing to approach God on the basis of his mercy, right? Amen? You remember the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee, right? And the Pharisee marches into the temple and says, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm not like other men, not like that tax collector. I give my tithes and offerings. I fast. Thank you for making me the way you made me, God. And the tax collector, who's probably been cheating and all kinds of things, he comes in and he beats on his chest and he goes, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And our Lord Jesus said, the one who went away justified is the one who asked for mercy. So here he says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, be attentive to my cry for mercy. God is merciful. God knows that we are fallen children of Adam and Eve in our old nature. God knows our frame, that we're just dust, that we're weak. You know, that we fight these earthly passions. We fight the devil. We fight the world. We fight our flesh. There isn't a day where we don't fail in some capacity. We lose our temper. We think thoughts we shouldn't think, whatever. But God doesn't keep a record of sin, which is what we're going to read right now. So he cries for mercy. And in verse 3, he says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Who of us could stand if God kept a record of sins? If God had a little notebook right now, you know, he's looking down, I wouldn't last an hour, I don't think. We need a Savior. But with him there is forgiveness because of the blood that ran down at the cross. Every sin was paid for. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our sins and lawless acts he will remember no more. Blessed is the man to whom God will never impute sin. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Forgiveness is given freely. Therefore, he is feared. Lord, we serve you. We fear you because you're our God. In verse 5, I wait for the Lord. This is our topic today. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I put my hope. Now, how is he waiting? He's waiting by staying in the word. No matter what you're waiting on, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it is, stay in the word. My hope is in the word because this book is certain. We have great and precious promises. It's impossible for God to lie. And so embrace the word of God. In your word, I put my hope. And then it says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for morning. More than watchmen wait for morning. Now, I'm an early riser. Sometimes I get up about the time that Rain is still awake. I sometimes get up at 2 in the morning. I tell you the truth. It's crazy. But if I can't sleep, I get up. And as I have my devotions, I'm not always up that early, but I'm up early. Maybe 4 o'clock, whatever it is. And as I have my devotions, my coffee and Bible, I'm eager for the sunrise. I'm waiting for the morning. I like light more than I like darkness. And I love it when morning comes. And so here he's saying, Lord, I'm waiting for you more than a watchman who's sitting at his post. You ever been a watchman? I was a security guard, believe it or not. One of my many, many, many jobs I had when I was young, I was actually briefly a security guard. And it's nighttime and it's cold and you're waiting for the light to come. And when light comes, you're glad. We are waiting on the Lord more than a watchman waiting for morning. We are alertly looking for the Lord. And then it says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. See, that's why we hope in God. His love is an unfailing love. And full redemption means that everything's paid for. Jesus said, all manner of sin will be forgiven, except the rejection of Christ, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Every other sin, he has taken away. He's full redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ for all who believe. And he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. One day Israel is going to have their eyes open during the Great Tribulation. They're going to follow Christ. Now listen, church, we are told, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. We're all waiting for various things. The word for wait, I've got so many other scriptures, but let's just go right to it. The word for wait appears 141 times in scripture. Approximately. And there are many different definitions of the word to wait. It basically means to remain steady, to endure. It means putting up with surrounding difficulties. So you're waiting for an answer, but you're staying steady, you're calm, you're not running away, you're enduring these obstacles and problems because God hasn't revealed yet anything different. So you're just staying at your post. You're right there doing what God asked you to do. You're waiting on the Lord, even though around you there are surrounding difficulties. You're enduring. You're holding steady. You've got to hold the wheel. You're not swerving the car. You're steady. Jesus has a hold of you. And it also can mean in Hebrew one translation is you're hopeful and you're desperate. Lord, I need you desperately. I'm waiting for you. My eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. And again, waiting actively with anticipation. I anticipate that you will answer me, Lord. I'm waiting on you. The favorite Hebrew word for wait, the one that appears in Isaiah, in this Psalm and in Isaiah 40:31, they wait upon the Lord. I'll read that in a minute, is kavah. It's Q-A-V-A-H. Kavah. I'm not good at pronouncing Hebrew words, but it appears 49 times, and it is a word that means twisting and binding together. To wait upon, they that wait upon the Lord, they twist and they bind together. It's as if you took two ropes and you intertwined them. When we wait on God, we become one with his heart. We find out what's on his mind. He doesn't serve us, we serve him. And by waiting, we become like that rope twisted together with God's will in our life. To wait on God is to align, is to have your heart be aligned with his heart. You're in step with what he wants you to do. That's waiting on God. Twisting and binding together. It's a beautiful meditation. Well, let's read, with that little background, let's read some other scriptures on waiting. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. Just want to read some scriptures, then I'm going to give you some practical questions at the end about what you're waiting on. But Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. I love this portion of scripture. Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. So just repent, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm resting in your finished work. And then in quietness and trust, Lord, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to trust you. You ever find that we're weakest when we're talking all the time? Yeah. Oh, but I don't know what's happening. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know. You know, we're going to be quiet and trust. In quietness and trust is your strength. He says, but you would have none of it. You're talking to Israel now. He says, you said, no, we will flee on horses. They were facing a danger, by the way, from the Egyptians and so forth. And he said, no, we will flee. So therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. And the threat of 5, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. You see, if we start trying to run away from God's will, we're afraid to start acting on our own, and then we're acting in greater danger. Verse 18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, there may be some trials. What do you have for breakfast? I had the bread of adversity, and I had a water of affliction. Wow. Your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And then you'll defile your idols and your images. And then it goes on to talk about God will give you rain and broad meadows and bless you. You see, if you don't run away from God on a horse and you just wait for him, you're going to hear this voice saying, this is the way. And when you hear it, it's so holy. Anything that's idolatrous in your life or offensive to God, you're going to want to get rid of it. You're going to go, yes, Lord. Wow, you're the living God. I fear you. God is going to speak into your life. He's going to speak into my life. Maybe he's speaking to you this week. Maybe you're waiting, but he's going to speak. You're going to hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Church, we are going to hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. We're going to know. God's going to show us. He's going to show us when we can meet in person. If he doesn't rapture us first, I hope he does. But he's going to show us, all of us. He knows where we live, and he's going to speak to us as we wait for him. Answers are coming and will come in his time. Isaiah 40, turn to Isaiah 40, verse 27. Most of you know this portion of scripture very well. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. The whole chapter is beautiful, but verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Have you ever done that? You ever gone, gosh, God must have made a mistake here. He must have forgot. No, he says, why do you say that? He says, verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon, or NIV says hope in, unite with is another translation, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar, mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You get a second wind. You get those eagle's wings, the wind gusts underneath you, and all of a sudden you're soaring again because you've waited on God. You've waited for him to speak. Your cause is not disregarded. He knows all about what you're going through, and he's working in your life. So beautifully, church. So beautifully. We've had breakthroughs in things that God is doing in all of our hearts. We're all learning more about Jesus during this COVID year, 2020. We're having more time at home to read the Bible. We can't be busy as much as we want to be. So we're being more like Martha. More like Mary, rather.
Yes.
Mary, excuse me, sitting at Jesus' feet. And God has been working in our marriages. Hallelujah. He's been working in our homes, our families, using all things for the good. They that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with those wings of eagle. God knows all that we need. Well, there's so many other cases of waiting. I'm just going to refer to, remember the story of Ruth, where Ruth had to wait for the answer whether Boaz would be her husband or not. There's waiting involved. Let me give you another Psalm 27. Turn to Psalm 27. We'll pick up on that one. Psalm 27, verse 13. He says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You are among the living, you who are in Christ, and you're going to see his goodness in your land. You're going to see it. We're going to see him work right here in Chico, California, but also in Lucena City. We're going to see God work everywhere. And the key is that we persevere. Turn to Psalm 42. I told you we'd be reading a lot of scripture today. So I think I'll read this entire psalm. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. That's the deepest part of your heart with God's heart. Deep calls to deep, you and God. In the roar of your waterfalls, in the middle of your trial, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Haven't you been through that where you're waiting on answers and the enemy, Satan, goes, where's your God? Where's your God? If God loves you, why did he let this happen to you? If God loves you, how come this happened to you? God's forgot about you. Because of sin in your life, God's not talking to you. God doesn't want anything to do with you. See, those are the lies of Satan. Satan is the accuser of the brethren who accuses night and day. And here the psalmist says, no. Why are you so downcast? He's talking to himself. Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. He's waiting on the Lord. Lord, I'm not getting that answer right now. I'm wanting to meet with you, and I'm going through a trial, and I'm not hearing from you, but I'm waiting on you. Waiting is winning. Those who wait upon the Lord are the winners. They get the prize. They are staying steady, putting up with surrounding difficulty. They are still trusting. They are putting the hope in the word. In your word, I put my hope, Lord. I don't know what's happening, but I've got your Bible here and you're with me and I love you, Lord. And they're tenacious. That's a good English word. Determined. Determined, tenacious means to just keep cling tight, to wait upon the Lord. There's a story about David where in the book of 1 Samuel, he had been running away from Saul. And at a place called Ziklag, his wives and children were captured by the enemy, by the Amalekites, I believe. And the Amalekites carried away the wives and children and possessions. And David, when he got to found out, David's men were going to stone him to death. And all the men were weeping, and David was going to be stoned to death. And it says in that beautiful passage, 1 Samuel 30, I believe, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. And that is, by the way, that is what moss does when it clings to a rock. That fine strength, one definition of the Hebrew word is for like a moss clinging to a stone. You can't even scrape it off. I'm finding strength in you, Lord. In this dark hour, in this hour of trial where I've been, my men are thinking of stoning me. My wife's been carried off. And you know what happened, the rest of the story, don't you? He inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, chase those guys. And they got everything back. They got their wives, their children, all the possessions. Everything was glorious. He took plunder, which he later gave to the authorities in Hebron, and that's where he would become king. So God was working. God was working, and David was learning to find strength in his hour of trial. Part of our waiting purifies our faith, church. That's waiting has the effect of shaping our character and purifying our faith. We become more like Christ. Our faith is proven genuine through trials. First Peter tells us, these trials have come that your faith, which is more precious than gold, might be proven genuine. First Peter 1. And so your faith is more precious than gold, but it has to go through trials. And so there's that necessity of waiting. Waiting for answers, waiting for deliverance, waiting for God to speak. And you know, the answers come in his time. Just a few more scriptures. Turn to Ecclesiastes 3. That comes right after Proverbs, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill, time to heal. And you go right down the list, time to tear down, time to build. There's a time for everything. And then you come down to verse 9, and it says, what does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen a burden God has laid on men. Verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. That's a nice meditation. There is a season for every activity. I heard a study on this once. It really means that there's a good purpose in every season. If you're young and you're having children, there's a good purpose in that season. If you're old and you're graying hair, then there's a good purpose in that season. There's a reason for every season and activity under heaven. God time. We need to be in sync with God's good time. They that wait upon him, he makes things beautiful in his time. Good meditation. The subject of waiting. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Princess Bride? Yay. Okay. Put your hand up if you've seen The Princess Bride. Come on, you guys. Come on. It's good. Okay.
Good movie.
I mean, come on. This is like, if you haven't seen Princess Bride, go. This is your gut. Stay at home. Anyway, get the video or something. Get it on Netflix or whatever. Anyway, there's a very funny Spaniard in there named Inigo Montoya. And when he's told he has to wait, his comment is, I hate waiting. Most of us don't like waiting. But waiting is a necessity in the Christian life. I just thought I'd throw in a little humor. I like that film. And I was thinking of someone who had to wait by the name of Noah. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. Just a few more scriptures here. Genesis chapter 8. Noah. God's instrument of deliverance through the flood, Noah and eight people in all, as God destroyed the world by flood. We see the evidence of that in the Grand Canyon and so forth. God's judgment is real. Noah was told to build an ark. Took him a long time to build it. He made it the size of a battleship. They have a model of it now in Kentucky, made to the exact specifications. It would have had ample cubic space for all the animals. It really is a historic event. It's not a fictional event. It happened. The word of God is true. The world was destroyed by flood, but Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were safe on the ark. And they had all these smelly animals in there. They had, you know, two of every kind, seven of some of the clean animals, which they would later offer as sacrifice. And as they waited on the Lord, they apparently, the flood, it says, occurred. It says in verse Genesis 7:11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the seventh day of the second month, the springs of the earth burst forth. It wasn't just rain. The earth actually gave water from the ground up. And the earth was destroyed. That all the upheaval caused the mountains and the valleys and the Grand Canyon and things like that we see today. And for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained, and entire mankind was flooded and died, all that breathed. Only Noah was left. And so then we see in chapter 8, verse 5, the waters continued to recede until the 10th month. So the ark had rested at the mountain of Ararat, but he was still waiting for the water to go down. So it had been a lengthy experience. It had been months and months of flood. And it says, verse 6, after 40 days, Noah opened the window. And then we see this process in verse 10 of chapter 8. He waited seven more days, and he sent out a dove. And when the dove returned in the evening, it had a plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew the water had receded. He waited. Seven more days and sent the dove out. And you just see him waiting, and he sends out a raven, he sends out a dove, he sends out a dove. And he could have just said, well, it's pretty obvious that the water has receded. But instead, it says, God spoke to him. Verse 15, God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. He waited, even though he had these birds and he was waiting to see if the water was low. He waited till he heard God's voice saying, come out of the ark. That was the right time to come out. It would have been easy to get ahead of the Lord, but he waited. And we just need that, to wait on God. You know, there are some stories where people who didn't wait on the Lord, and it wasn't good. There's a story in 1 Samuel 13, church, and you can look these up on your own. It's your homework. I'm not going to turn to these. The story of Saul. Saul was told to wait. There was going to be Samuel was going to come and offer a sacrifice. But Saul and his troops were surrounded in 1 Samuel 13. And the Philistines were everywhere. And the troops were beginning to desert. So he decided not to wait for Samuel. Even though Samuel was the priest, Samuel was the one who's supposed to offer the offering. Saul offered the offering, which he wasn't supposed to do. He's not a priest. But he got the offering just to keep the troops there. About 10 minutes later, practically, we don't really know, Samuel shows up and goes, what is this you have done? And he had not waited. And the kingship was taken away from Saul. Saul's heart was not right with God. He was not in step with God. Saul was not a man of prayer. In Exodus 32, another story for your homework, Moses was up on the mountain a long time getting the laws and the Ten Commandments and so forth. He was up there so long that the people said, make us a god. And Aaron said, well, give me your earrings. And he threw the earrings into the fire, and he shaped it, and out comes this golden calf. Because he didn't wait. They didn't wait for Moses to come down from the mountain. And there's other stories like that, too. Jeremiah 42, you can also look that up. Jeremiah 42, the people were told that if they would submit to Babylon, they would live. But instead, they fled to Egypt, and they died. Because they did not wait on the Lord. So I'm not trying to be scary here, but not waiting on the Lord, looking for shortcuts, is not good. We are told in the New Testament that the church, in Acts 1, verse 4, was told, wait in Jerusalem for the gift that the Father will give you. Now, let me ask the church, what are you waiting for, brother, sister. I bet you a lot of things. Personal things, answers. We're waiting for a vaccine. We're waiting. I'll talk about what I'm waiting for. I'm looking for a vaccine. I'm a 70-year-old. I would like to get it. Stick me in the arm. Get me twice. It's okay. I'm ready. We're waiting for justice from the election. I feel like there was a lot of fraud, a lot of injustice. Someday God's going to deal with that. No matter what happens, there has been an injustice and God's not blind to it. We're waiting for where CIF is supposed to meet next. Do we ever get to meet together again? When do we get to meet? Is there a building or is there a house? What are we supposed to do? We're waiting for answers, aren't we? I'm waiting to see what's going to come of this home that I bought on Woodland Avenue. It's kind of cold still. We're still working on the heating system. I'm going, Lord, help me out. But we're using your firewood, Val, so thanks. But we're all waiting for something. What are you waiting on? Waiting is winning. God will give answers in his time. Persevere. In Luke 18, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he told us the story of an unjust judge and a persistent widow. And he said, if the unjust judge, if all this woman's wearing me out, I'll give her justice. And he said, how much more will God give justice to his children who cry out day and night? But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? You can't let your faith become exhausted. You, like that moss on a rock, you cleave to God. Like that rope twisted tight, you cleave to God. So no matter what's happening around you, Lord, I'm waiting on you, Jesus. You are risen. You are my Savior. And the enemy says, where is your God? I'm waiting on you, God. And in your time, I will have eagle's wings. I will be victorious. You will provide every need in my life. You will give me the wisdom that I need. In your time, you will make it beautiful, Lord, because you're the living God. You are my God. The last psalm I was going to close with is 143. You can look at it if you want to. Then we're going to close. 143. It's a beautiful psalm. That's why I want to read it. It's beautiful. Let's close with this, reading this psalm, 143. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit faints within me. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Men I love. Verse 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. God wants the morning to bring you word of his unfailing love. Church, I encourage you, continue to have your morning devotions. Start the day with the Bible. Start your day with Jesus. Talk to him. Pour out your heart to him. Have a notebook, maybe. Write down your thoughts. Go, Lord, I'm crying out to you. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. God loves all of you so much. He's with you. He's with us. Let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the meditation on waiting. Lord, waiting can be hard. We tend to be more like the Spaniard thing. We don't like waiting. But Lord, waiting is a necessity in spiritual growth. So, Lord, we look to you expectantly for the answers that concern us. They concern our families. They concern our church, our health, our finances, whatever it is you're asking us to do. Whatever corner we might think we're in, we know that you are able to deliver us. Most of all, Lord, as my wife shared earlier, we're waiting for you to come back again. Our longing is for you, the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, our life is brief on the earth, and we wait for you. We wait in expectancy for you. Strengthen our faith. Renew your life in us this morning. Fill us with your Spirit. Draw us near to yourself. We cleave to you, Lord, and I thank you that you're holding on to us. Thank you for your unfailing love. Praise you, Lord. I pray you would give answers to those who are seeking answers. You would give perseverance to the saints. Bless your people. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.